This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Kusu Chuang, Julian Ng, and myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. Just a quick reminder, after the 8 o'clock news, we have on the breakfast grill today, Dato' Othman Aziz, he's the Deputy Finance Minister, one, with the Ministry of Finance, and Ibrahim Sani is going to be speaking to him. Many questions are coming fresh off that budget 2017 announced on Friday. Big stories, and the first one that we're going to be looking at is from Danny Kwa. He's a professor based in England. He's from Malaysia. He's become quite a renowned voice in talking about world economics. He sees serious headwinds ahead for Malaysia.
Yeah, he gives Malaysia 2 to 3 years before the proverbial poo-poo hits the ceiling fan. I think this is interesting because he draws two dimensions here. There's an internal situation and there's an external situation. The external situation is driven by things like with the possible withdrawal of TPP by a hard-headed guy like Trump. He points out to the Brexit withdrawal
and Hillary,
issues
actually.
And Hillary as well, actually. ISIS, of course, and the South China territorial disputes, but that's the external situation of which Malaysia doesn't really have much control over. Internally, there's two sub-issues, which is, of course, the political situation, which Kwa describes as an impasse, which might be served by a new coalition, maybe, but he suggests the existing coalition to work it out. But the other situation is the fiscal situation, which is being dealt with by all the economists and even the Secretary-General of the Treasury, Erwin Sarigar. And it's really the debt situation and the serviceability of that debt versus the growth and or rather the tepid growth.
Yeah, I think that what I noticed what went through my head as I was reading this article was that you really have to read between the lines about what Danny Kwa is saying, because he doesn't say things explicitly. When he say that the political situation or the fiscal deficit is going to blow up, I mean, the deficits and the political situations have been around for many years now. What is the turning point today that makes Danny Kwa come up with this kind of view? And
fact, you might say that the politics in Malaysia today is not at an impasse. The Prime Minister seems to be very secure in his position. I think it's an impasse only if you see as the end game, a game changer. If you're looking for a game changer, if you want to see Malaysia move towards more democratization, or you want to see greater transparency in government and such, then because it might seem to you like an impasse. But otherwise, I think...
It doesn't mean I disagree with him, though, because I think that he might have some reasons for saying it, and it feels as though he's not saying it explicitly. And I think that there are, as we shall see, there are many problems that we have as well.
Analysts and the government, as it were, as it talks about the Malaysia and its problems, we see it in budget 2017. Does it feel like they're on different planets? I mean, do they view Malaysia through completely different lenses, or is there in fact some or a good amount of overlap in their diagnosis of the problem?
Well, it's interpretation, isn't it? Because the government thinks that everything's hunky-dory. The external economists think that it's not. And, you got people like Kwa saying the same story, that there are some people that, just want to muddle along and blunder along and think everything's going to be fine. But he singles out Nasir Razak as being one of those level-headed guys that doesn't think that it's actually situationally correct.
Well, there's this other person here who states things more explicitly, and this is Deutsche Bank's economist Diana Rose Del Rosario, and she points the finger at a very high bloated civil service occupying a big part of the budget, and she says that this needs to stop.
Well, of course. I mean, when you look at the entire budget, you've got something like over 80% of the budget being, just to make things happen, just to pay for costs in the government, and you've got less than, 10, 15, 20% for development, then obviously something's wrong, because you want to develop a developing country. You are not Sweden, you're not Finland, you're not Norway, you're not, Canada. You need infrastructure in other parts of the country, and you're spending most of the budget on yourselves, which is wrong.
Well, okay, in principle, you might say, okay, trim the civil service, it's bloated. This has been an accusation leveled at the civil service for a long time. But there's a political cost to it. I mean, you're putting out people out of jobs, potentially, in a market grim.
Not necessarily. You can upskill your workers, you can make them more adept at other skills, and you can deploy them in the private sector.
Or you can send a very strong policy signal by saying that there is is going to be a hiring freeze.
And no, there's already been a hiring freeze, I think, in the civil service.
And also try to get rid of some of these excesses and fats, right, by, as you say, retraining. And I think that the other time bomb, I mean, we're going to talk about other time bombs later, but one of the time bombs that she mentioned is that by next year, there would be a 15% rise from pension-related expenses. And, you know, a lot of the government pensions actually define benefits, which means that the government makes promises to the people about what they can give you in your retirement years. I don't know whether the government has enough money to fund this, what is essentially a liability for the future.
Yeah, I find this very interesting as well. Well, in fact, not interesting, it's very dangerous because you've got the same situation in the US. Basically, pension funds invest in very low-risk conservative investments, such as by, you know, government bonds or corporate bonds. The thing is where yields are, right? And yields are where pension funds get their income from to pay back
almost
pension
zero,
holders.
Right?
Almost zero.
Yeah.
So where are you going to get the money to pay off your pensioners?
And you throw in the problem of an aging society in there, which means that there more and more there's going to be an older population and a smaller, young, youthful population.
Working-age population.
That's a problem for retirement and pension planning as well.
Okay, if there's a bright spot in the news, perhaps it's this, that FDIs coming into ASEAN remain high despite a decline of 8% in 2015. So FDIs, is that a good way to go, kind of relying on foreign direct investment for growth?
Well, it is good news and it is bad news too, because, I mean, when you look at the FDI flows in recent years, it's really been driven by China, India, Japan and New Zealand, and I guess to some extent the Americans as well. Just depends on which country they go to it and for what reason. And you'll see the Singaporeans and ASEAN get the most, I think, and the Indonesians and the Vietnamese get more and more. But Malaysia seems to be tapering off. And people like Danny Kwa say that FDIs, which have been a kind of like a bottleneck saver for Malaysia, if you get FDIs from America because of people like Trump and Clinton start to dry up, then you've got real issues, because where are you going to get the foreign money to pay for all your inefficiencies?
Plus, you got that double deficit, that twin deficit developing as well. The trade surpluses have been dwindling over the years, and that affects the current account surplus. Plus, you have this budget deficit, which we are told that this year it would be under control because it's on the conservative side, oil factoring in at $45, whereas Deutsche Bank thinks that this year the oil price would average at $50. And yet, there is this palpable sense of fear as to what happens if a twin deficit actually develops. And then you throw in contingent liability, right, which Tan Sri's Erica Sariwan says that everything is A-OK right now. I'm just wondering whether we are honest enough to face the challenges that are coming ahead.
In a word, no. Anytime the government says something, you just take the exact opposite.
Really? Okay. So Tan Sri Irwan Sariga was responding to Tony Pua's time bomb statement, and he says there's no time bomb because companies like Tanaga and Telecom, which the government guarantees, are okay because they're making their own revenues. What do you think of that, Chuang?
Well, he's right, and he's also a bit you know, dodgerama as well, because when you cite things like Tanaga, Telecom, well, clearly the Petronas chain of companies, they're doing okay, but, you know, this whole NPFC thing is, you know, non-public financial corporations. They also comprise other companies like Indawater, Prasarana, which are
KTM Berhad,
KTM,
MRT Corp.
MRT Corp. If he says that it's okay, you know, corporations like that are going to be all right because they sell tickets, because people, but no. Sorry, you know,
I think
just because
one,
you launch them doesn't mean they're going to be filling your trains and trams and cabooses for the next, yeah, you know, in the immediate term. No,
that's right. I think there's one easy way to solve this, which is that the government should stop giving guarantees to these companies if they are commercial entities that can stand alone on themselves. Right, just stop guaranteeing them.
Correct, but the chasm between can and do is
large. Okay, speaking of chasms, 1MDB gets an extension again for submissions of its audited accounts. We know some of the perceptions, and we spoke earlier about the former second finance minister asking very tough questions in Parliament about the second finance minister, saying, well, the perception of Malaysia is being shaped by 1MDB and the, you know, the controversies around it. It's being, you know, investigated in over 7 jurisdictions. And if we fail in any of these investigations or any of these suits, what is it going to do to Malaysia's reputation?
Well, he outlines the word systemic in there. And I think this is interesting because 1MDB's numbers are not within the NPFC scenario that Tony Pua raised over the weekend. It's not within the defensibility framework that Erwan Sariga has mentioned. And he's right, because at the end of the day, if people are going to lend you money, they've got to have confidence in your ability to pay them back. Now, when there is a trust deficit, there's an issue.
Well, also, Bursa reports a net profit fall of some 14% for the third quarter. Is this the markets reacting to the kind of bleak scenarios that you outline?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you got Bursa Malaysia, and basically Bursa Malaysia, and of course we're going to be talking about BAT as well, they sell cigarettes. When you have an economy that is not chugging along as well as the government would have you believe, then it comes out in corporate earnings. The corporate earnings comes out four times a year, every 3 months. Now, Bursa Malaysia says that trading revenue from both derivatives and stocks, which are the mainstays of their income, are not as strong as they were this time from last year. Then you got to have a pause for thought. And when BAT also says that they're selling less cigarettes this year than last year, then it kind of tells the same story, which is structural weakness in the economy.
I think the story of Bursa and BAT couldn't be more different, because Bursa is all about trading.
Yeah.
I don't really care about trading volumes on the stock market because it's not really a reflection of the economy. But BAT, perhaps something to talk about. They're worried about the illegal market.
Okay, BFM, never on pause. Remember, after the 8 o'clock news, we have on the grill Dr. Othman Aziz, Deputy Finance Minister number one. And we're up next with the news at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.